Hi, we are back on Motor Mouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and I do believe we have on the line Mr. Mark Warman. Mark, are you with us?
Good morning, guys. Yes, I am.
Well, then you know what? You have to go out through the door and come back again because we have to give you your intro. Let me do that now. I know you got your Challenger out in the parking lot, so I hear it. All right, we'll just give you a little taste of that because we want to talk to the master of Mopar himself, Mark Warman. Pleasure to have you call, Mark. Thanks for spending some time with us on a Sunday morning.
Absolutely, guys. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, anytime. You know, you're on our rotation, and our fans, I don't know if we have fans. Our fans are in the window. Usually they blow at us. But our listeners really love you. They love the show. You know, the East Coast is definitely Mopar country, and we've been called Mopar Mouth Radio because we play to it so much. And we have the Long Island, I got to say, we have Long Island Mopars, the Mopar Club, listening today, too.
Oh, so. Yeah. Great group of guys. Yep. Good. Hey, everybody out there.
Yep. So that's the deal. Chris, Chris is with us. I see him somewhere. Let's get his mic up. I'm sorry about that. So, Mark, we're in season, what is it, 11, or do you call it 12 now? We lost track.
I don't know anymore.
How does that work?
We do a deal for 26 episodes. When we do our deal with the network, we make 26 episodes. We call it one season, but they break it into two. So it gets confusing. But I believe what's airing right now is season 11.
Right.
No, the season 11 or season 12. I'm with you, Ray. I'm confused.
Okay, good. We're in good company then. I'm in good company then because I don't know. But
it's one of the longest running shows on the network, I might add.
Yes. And I have to say, you know, we'll just throw the stuff right out, right at the beginning, because, you know, I've said this to you before. We hear a lot of stuff, a lot of picks and pans, like, hey, why did that Mark do this, and why didn't he? Like, what do I know? I don't work with the guy. I'm not part of his TV show. Leave me alone. So this season, you've changed it up again, and I think it's great that you have the liberty to do that because you do control the production, even though your production guys say differently. So, you know, you're doing things a little different. And now this last episode that we saw went back to, I like this version where it's segmented car by car by car and you give updates on each one. But tell us a little bit about what you did do different that's raising everybody's hackles.
Well, the beginning of the season, well, first off, everything that we do comes somewhere from my little pea brain. Usually it's a dream I have or something that I say, oh, this is going to be a great idea. And then everybody fights me upstairs on it, and I end up, you know, having to bow my neck and throw my weight around a little bit and get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I never regret any of the things that we tried, because one thing I promised a long time ago was, this is back in the beginning days, I was on some other radio show or something, and I said, I will always keep it different. I'll keep you guessing. Right. And I think because we do change constantly, it's almost like the rope-a-dope. You're too tired to change the channel. I mean, you're used to it, and you say, well, God, next week he's going to do this, next week he's going to do that. And I probably do. And then we switch it up again the following week, and they go, God, why did he do that? He went back to that other stuff. The beginning part of the season, we were very, very motivated to do I'm a big fan of The Office, the BBC version. The American one's great, too. But it's for simpler minds like Tony D'Agostino, who gets a big kick out of Michael Scott. The British version is much more intelligent, and you have to really listen, and the humor is more subtle. So that's more my cup of tea.
Uh-huh.
Now, after insulting Tony, I'll say we had the network come back to us, and some of this I can talk about, some of it I can't. But at the beginning, when we first signed our deal this year, I got on the phone with the network, and they said, believe it or not, we've been doing focus groups, and now that we're Motor Trend. And it looks like the favorite thing of our viewers, of your share of people that watch our show, love your shtick. They love it all. Mm-hmm. So for 11 seasons, we've been apologizing for Mark Warman and walking everything back. So this season, just go be yourself, and we'll own it. Okay. So that was a true story. So we went with my dream of doing The Office-esque type of thing and really turning the cameras on the crew here that helped make the show, and so everybody could get a real serious feeling. I mean, obviously there's some fun in there, but get an honest, transparent look at what it's like to work with Mark Warman and make a TV show. And it actually, I think it was the third episode where I was doing my Michael Jackson hip thrust on the whole lot lift. That was our highest rated episode of the season so far.
Wow.
So go figure. But the pushback on Facebook was horrific, and it always is. I don't know exactly why the split is the way it is, but if you go on Facebook, they love to hate. Love to hate. Favorite thing in the world, can't wait to hate on you.
Mm-hmm.
You get over to Twitter, and they're very honest and open, and they're not there to hate on you. They're really giving you an honest feedback. So it was interesting because it's pure hatred. Pure hatred. I wish I should play you one of my messages I got. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Yeah, those are a blast. They're usually X-rated, so people inviting me to do things with myself. And anyway, point being, on Twitter, the feedback, I even got some of my loyal fans to say, well, we love you, we're always going to watch you, but we kind of miss the old format. So really, around episode 5, I sat down with DL, our producer upstairs, and said, let's switch it up again. Let's give them 3 really dry, sterile, all car content episodes. So that's what you saw prior to last Friday night's episode. Was we kind of cleansed the palate, and now we're going. Now you have to watch and see what we're doing, because it is also hysterically new. What you're going to watch starting next week.
Okay, good. I got to say, this last episode, I liked, there were a lot of things in it I liked. One thing you had mentioned later on in the episode is you talked about the equipment in the shop. And I just think, you know, good equipment in the shop equals good personal safety. You know, people are, if they can work safer and they can, they're in a better environment, more work can get done and there's less. So that's great. I think that's, you know, I love seeing
stuff. I agree with you completely. I've been in this business my whole life, and I've seen people get hurt lifting an engine block up, or even a transit, or even when you lift least expect it, just lifting something up that's not right in close concentric to you, and you reach out a little bit, and that's how accidents happen. So give them some lifting equipment, give them good lifts, give them the things that they need, and try to reduce that number of workers' comp claims.
Right. And if you guys like us, as we're aging, lifting something precarious might mean a paper bag off the floor.
You know? Well, back there, I'm sure that's true. Out here, we're still pretty healthy.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you guys are in great shape. I know, yeah.
Mark, you talk about being a contortionist. I was just watching you trying to get a heater box into a Challenger. And you had this great idea. You were like, why am I doing this? But I saw you, like, literally wrestle with it. You were like Gorilla Monsoon in there wrestling with the heater box. And talk about being a contortionist.
What car was I working on? I don't recall that bit.
It was, it's on YouTube. I saw it. It was probably season 5 or season 6.
Oh, geez,
I got a lot to catch up on.
It wasn't when I was trying to get the Clevis pin way back in season 1 and I was cussing like a sailor, was it?
No. Tony D'Agostino was there. He was there. So what was that? That was, he paid a visit over to you.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. He's here all the time. He's like a bad penny. He just keeps turning up.
You were working on that, it was a 70 Challenger sunroof car. Purple.
Oh, it was a sunroof car, right.
It was nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
and just watching you wrestle with that thing.
Yes, the sunroof purple 70 Challenger, one of one, 440 automatic houndstooth interior, FC7 V1X black top with the V21 hood. Yep.
Right.
I was.
You guys got all that, I'm sure.
That whole video. Yeah, totally. I wrote it all down.
Well, you know what? No, we have guys like you, and that's to rely on. That brings up That brings up a great question. A good friend. I actually forwarded you an email from him this week about a CUDA that's been doctored and going to Barry Washington had sent that to him. It was an alert. But he had asked, "What's the rarest car you have out in the graveyard, and the rarest one you've put through the shop?" Now, you know, that's kind of an odd question, because you just explained on the show we saw on Friday night the CUDA you're working on with the 3-speed is a 1 of 8.
That's getting down there, right?
So it all depends how you want to look at the statistic, really, because you had even said it's not the rarest of the breed.
That's right. It's a big misunderstanding, or it's just this. It's 1 of 1, 1 of 2. It's hyperbole, because the truth of the matter is, if you take that purple 71 CUDA 343 speed, 8 is the total number of 71 CUDA 343 speeds, convertibles, sorry if I repeated myself there, that were ever made. Now just add purple to it. Right. How many of those 8 were purple?
Yeah.
How many of those 8 had a white top?
Mm-hmm.
How many of those 8 were a power top? How many were white interior? How many were AM radio and not AM FM or AM cassette? Mm-hmm. How many of them were standard dash? So you can break it down, and it's not hard to get a one of one car.
Right.
But when I look at a one of one or one of two or one of eight, I'm kind of forgetting all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm forgetting options like shaker hoods that narrow it down or power sunroofs that nail it down. And just, I go for the raw numbers, engine, transmission, and VIN.
Right.
So the rarest car is the 1970 Coronet that ended up coming back with some QC issues. 426 Hemi 4-speed car. Yeah, it's loaded with everything else. But on its own merit, they only built two.
That was my guess, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then, of course, it's the only one left alive today.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the brown one.
Yeah, beautiful car. Yeah, beautiful car.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's... give me 1 second. I need to refer to something here. I know you hear me flipping through the pages. Just
yeah,
give me
and that'll give me a second to mention that you are listening to Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, with our special guest, Mark Warman of Graveyard Cars from Oregon, giving us some time on this this sunny Sunday on the East Coast. I don't know how...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how Oregon's doing, but...
You know, today woke up, it was really... Let me mute this stupid thing. It was a beautiful... It rained cats and dogs yesterday.
Yeah, here
but
too.
Then today I woke up and there was fog in the air and there was a little light mist over the cars in the driveway, a little frost. So I don't know. I think today's going to be nice, but I think it's welling back up again for tomorrow and the rest of the week. We have a 70 Roadrunner we're trying to get that delivered to a guy, and he wants to wait to come up and check it out until he can drive it, and he can't drive it in the rain. So
yeah.
We've been sitting here for 2 weeks waiting on him. The rarest car I probably have... Well, I'm going to have to say that's not true either.
What about that 70 Chrysler 300C that you teased us with on Friday night? Because we were just talking about C-bodies, and there you go.
Well, on that car, it's a rough old girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of rust. But a real nice guy down in Florida, always wanted one, ended up coming across this, and it's out of the Florida area. So, like I say, it's a real rusty car, but... I've got lots of parts up north that our friends at Wildcat, they specialize in a lot of those C-body things, so we won't have too much trouble getting the pieces we need for it.
Right.
But I believe the number was 501 of those cars were made. So, yeah, it's rare. I mean, considering that was, what, 1970, and you split that up among 50 states, that's getting down there pretty low.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not the rarest one. I was just looking one up for fun here because I just brought in an all-original paint Survivor car, but it needs restored. Survive, meaning it survived as long as its original paint, but it isn't good enough to show.
Sure.
It's a 70 Challenger RT V-code, 446 back 4-speed.
Nice.
Convertible.
Whoa, nice.
Whoa.
61 of them made.
Oh, yeah, that's sweet.
So that's rare, but still, you go to our purple CUDA and there you got it beat. But
yeah,
rare doesn't always equate to cash.
In the world of Mopars, how many, I would imagine that when we talk about Hemis, which is, you know, the king of the hill, the elephant in the room, how many four-door Hemi cars were ever made? That's got to be kind of a rare
one. Oh, man, I know Tony knows that a lot better than I do. Not many. One guy here in Oregon has one. I thought it was a 66. I think he has a red 66 four-door satellite. Because in 66, you can get any engine in any car.
Yeah,
right.
And I don't know that there was ever a wagon built, though.
I
know he's got one, and then I think Galen or somebody Galen knew had one. I bet there aren't probably 10 or more, maybe 66 Hemi four-door cars.
I could see some Southern sheriff back in the day saying, hey, you know what, this is the engine we need in our car.
yeah, catch those darn Duke boys.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
right.
Exactly.
Run and shine.
But that's the thing. This is, from what the feedback we get, this is what I see people want to see you do. They want to see you talk about stuff like this and the options and the, totally just they want to see Mopar. They don't want to see any other stuff. And you know, that's just I'm just relaying what I've heard and seen.
Well, it's okay. I mean, it's conflicting for me because when I watch back through that episode, which I do, I watch the episodes as they air, as they drop on actual network TV. I think it's boring.
Yeah.
I look through it and I think, I know you find this really hard to believe, but on Friday I thought, that's way too much Mark Warman. I know you find that hard to believe that I would say that, but I felt like it was just way too much me and it was so sterile and it was just about numbers this. I mean, it had no fun entertainment value. Because I know what you're connected really well. You got your finger on the pulse of car guys and gals out there. Mm-hmm. But the network, they have their finger on the pulse of everybody, all walks of life.
Yeah.
And one of the favorite things that makes Graveyard Cars a return series is the personal interaction between the characters, the fun. They love the dancing, they love the movie quotes, the one-liners, the attempts at humor that often fall flat. That in itself is what is funny.
Right, right.
So I have a lot of people to try to keep watching that show.
Oh, sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, as you've said, being the most popular show, obviously what you're doing is working, so, you know.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, if I do something where I do it, by the eighth or ninth episode in, if I was a real sterilized show and went back to just kind of like Friday's episode where it was all just car, talk, car, then I would lose that group I told you that liked the fun and the interaction. Sure. They'd start tuning out. Right. So then I have to switch back over and add that back in to keep them on the couch, too. So it's, yeah, if anybody had the answer, they'd be rich. I mean, even the networks don't have the answers. What makes people tune in?
Well,
so
I,
we just
I
do the
you,
best to figure it out.
I think I have an answer, and I'm certainly not rich, and I'm not going to get that way by having my own opinion. You need another show. You need a second show that's kind of that caters. You know, you could have two separate shows that cater to different aspects of what you do, and I'd watch them both.
It's actually kind of funny because we've talked about that just recently.
Okay.
If that weird episode, those first three episodes where it was very office-esque, rated so well, but the car people hated it, well, that sounds like two different slices of the pie for two different slices of the people.
Yep, true.
So why don't you show what goes on to making the show? Make another show about here's what really happens in the process trying to make Graveyard Cars. If you don't like it, don't tune in because on Friday night, it's the regular Graveyard Cars OG, if you will, original gangster. Mm-hmm. Just came up with that. And that'll be very car-centric. So, yeah, right. I think so. We got to kind of think outside the box. Of course, there's only enough Mark Warman to go around.
Actually, you know, Mark, maybe OG, where you're concerned, should be considered original Graveyard.
Oh, that's what I think it is.
There we go, right?
I think I'm going to take credit for that.
Sure.
That's brilliant. You don't re-air this, do you?
Yeah, we do. But you know what? I take credit for enough things you do, so why not? We'll just share.
Okay, great. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I got a question off the interline here. Someone wants to know what a 999 paint code is.
Well, it's a paint code that was given to a car that they didn't quite have the paint code yet for it. And so, okay. Like... Richard Petty's color when it first came out, I think 70. No, it. Boy, this is where Tony's a little quicker on this one. I hate saying that, but I believe officially Petty Blue was out in 70, but I think it was available on some cars in 69, and it would have got the 999 paint code.
Oh, okay.
I know I have. You know our 68 Charger that we just did that slant six on?
Yes. I want to get back to that, yeah.
It is painted a beautiful from the factory. It is an orange, and I can't remember what Dodge called it, but it is in the chip book. But the paint code on the car is 999 because they didn't have that orange by the time that car was built and the fender tag came out. They didn't have a code for it.
Right.
So it usually represents an odd color that's coming out or a one-off type of color. It represents something like that. That's why you have to have the broadcast sheet to go with it if you're really going to document it. So, for example, I looked up a... I had a guy send me a 1969 Roadrunner that was FM3 Panther Pink.
Okay.
Well, Panther Pink didn't come out till 70.
Right.
So the paint code was 999, but bigger than heck, I chipped it and it was a real FM3 Panther Pink or Moulin Rouge in the Plymouth lineup.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, pretty cool.
That's why, you know, that's the one thing, Chris and I kind of grew up being GM guys, but the one thing I've always was enamored of Chrysler's, and still am, is the amount of data that the car carries with it. that can be discerned. It's fantastic. Oh.
Yeah.
You know, it is the truth.
It's like what my doctor wants to do now. He wants to put a chip in so all my medical data is there. And I'm like, what am I? An e-body? Yeah, okay.
No, that I read about that in the Book of Revelation. You should pass on that chip.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll remember that, yeah.
Mark, was there ever a car that really stumped you? Like, you just stood back and went, I'm lost on this one. Was there anything that really kind of messed you up that way?
Well, are you talking about something wrong with the car that I couldn't resolve, or just one that didn't make sense, that didn't add up?
Yeah, just something that just didn't add up. Was there anything like that?
Oh, there's a lot. I can't just think of anything. I would say once a month something happens. It's usually a problem or a failure. It's something, typically speaking, where you have all the metal fitting on a car, the door, and it takes time to do that. You put new quarters on it, trunk floor extensions, main floor, inner rockers, outer rockers. You've lost a lot of structure at one point, but it's on a frame jig. It's all welded back together again. You fit the door. You get the door gap on it. You take it off the rotisserie. You move it out to the shop. They do the body work. You sign off on it. Will takes it over. He does the paint work on it. Of course, you have to take it back apart for that. Mm-hmm. Take the doors and the fenders back off. He paints everything. Put them back on, and you cannot get the lines again.
Oh, boy.
Almost as though the door or the fender, whatever adjacent panel is, it's not lining up, like it grew or shrunk.
Wow, yeah.
Oh.
It's really mysterious, because at one point I said the center style line on that 70 Charger is like a razor. It goes from the taillight all the way to the grill. It's flat and it's clean. Yeah. And the lower one that intersects with the lower section of the quarter and the door, it's beautiful. They go out, they do the paint work on it. All the sanding's done. Paint it, put it back on, and it's half an inch too low at the bottom. How did the line do that? The door still fits. How'd the line move?
Yeah.
So I guess that, to me, is a great example. I thought one day I would do something kind of highlighting it, although people at home think you just don't know what you're doing. You got to be careful about pulling back that curtain.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, totally.
I got a lot of messages about that 70 Coronet. I thought that if a car comes back because of these type of issues that could have been avoided, we should own it. And that's why we did that. We wanted to show transparency. We want to show that we're real, that we make mistakes. We're the last thing from perfect. But, boy, I had a lot of messages. You dumb SOB. How can you take a $1 million car and do that? You should be taken out and destroyed, euthanized.
I saw some of that on Twitter.
Yeah, these guys get crazy.
You know, and that's the thing. I sit back and not being part of your show, I look at it and say, oh, poor Mark. You've built this empire, and you disseminate this information to a lot of people. People who know a lot of information now can learn more, because none of us know it all. Well, you know, you come close, but nobody else does. And it's the onus is on you. There's a lot. I mean, people expect everything from you. And do you ever sit back and say, what the hell did I do?
Yep. All right. Every day that I get a message. Now, is this live or no?
Yes, we're live right now. Yes.
Very live.
So, can a bad word be said?
No. I would have to dump you, if you did.
Okay.
And then that would be fetid out.
So, okay. Yeah. Well, I can't play any of my messages in.
Yeah.
I record all my hate mail.
Right.
And one guy say that my daughter's ass was the biggest, fattest ass he'd ever seen in his entire life.
Oh, jeez.
And that he had just tapped it last night.
Oh, good.
And that I was a punk ass, B-I-T.
Yeah.
And he just goes on in this thing. It's like, what did I do?
Yeah.
All I did was come in. You let me in your living room.
Right. Right. Well, you know, that's it. There's the keyboard commandos. Everybody is a tough guy behind a, you know.
They are. That's true. It's funny. But I also get love mail. I've got a lot of that stuff where people say, you know, I really enjoy the show. God, every time you show something, it brings back. These are older people that, you know, their glory days are gone. And this show, these cars, these colors, I think it's a trigger.
Yeah,
bring them back to the 70s when they were in high school and everything was good and we were all healthy. And so really, that to me, one of those cancels out a million of those creeps.
Is it Amber Dawn? Is that her name, who follows you on Twitter? I see her stuff all the time. Sounds like
Amber,
really nice lady. I mean, she's got a lot of nice stuff to say, and she's very positive about stuff. And I love reading her posts. I think that they're one of the best ones.
She's sweet. She's really networked. Her and, what's that other kid? She's as sweet as can be. They even sent us a little Christmas. Oh, Mark, I'm so bad.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, you're right. Some of those folks over there are just Twitter's just really nice, and they're real car people, and they love interacting, and I love interacting, so it's cool.
I want to mention.
It's funny.
Yeah, go on, Chris.
Go ahead. I just wanted to jump in right for a sec. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the molesting basically $1 million car. How do you feel about that? These cars, when we were kids, these cars were used cars on a used car lot.
Yeah.
How do you feel that you're working on $1 million cars? Like the pressure is on. And do you think that like that has something to do with the hate mail or something like that? What do you think about these $1 million cars that were at one time $1,000 cars?
I think the hate mail pretty much is just like you said. It's keyboard commandos. It's jealousy. It's really nothing as noble as the value of a car offending somebody. These guys, they're mouth breathers. They don't even know what these things are or not. On a personal level, when it comes to these
cars,
keep in mind the person that has the $1 million car has $1 million. So it's not like quite like you and me, right? So.
Exactly.
You and me, I mean, that's crazy talk. That's insanity. That's 2.5 times more than my house.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But the guy that owns it has 50 of them in his garage just like it.
Right.
And so all I know is if I put the car back the way I believe it started its life, then you can't get mad at me. If the paint is the same quality or better, if the assembly is the same quality or better, if everything is at least the same or better, not too much better because then it's over-restored, then it's a win for me.
Yeah.
And of course, it's always intimidating. The most intimidating thing to me is that I've got cars out in the graveyard that I wish I had a 100,000-square-foot building to put them in. Because even though we're going to restore them, it's great to preserve as much as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Mark, we're getting to I believe it's 12:45 already. We're at the end of the show. I wanted to say, I promised that I would mention, you were on Plane in Traffic with us and Lewis Lee about a year ago, I guess. And Lewis asked me to extend another invitation to you to come back on the show. And, you can reach out to him or he can get in touch with you however you want to do it. And we'll get you in on a Thursday night. We just had Justin Nichols from Wrenched, which is another TV show that's on Motor Trend. From Nichols Paint and Fab, and he was talking all about stuff just like this, like how he balances these cars and then the cars that have to put food on his table, as well as the show cars, the TV.
Well, this is a real shop. So right at the end of the day, you have to every one of those stalls costs money to have those cars in. You have to turn them out, and they have to be done right. So yeah, I haven't seen that show. I've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're with SEMA this year too. Of course, you can't see everybody at SEMA; it's huge. But yeah, they're a younger crew, and they're out of Indiana or Illinois. I forget one of the I states. Not Iowa.
I love hearing stuff like that. There's so many great shops and great guys and gals out there that just maybe you never get the shot.
Yeah.
Like, of course, you got to take the shot to get the shot. But but nonetheless, it's still I love seeing. The more shows, the merrier. The more people, the merrier. It's fun. It's once in a lifetime. It's here today. It's gone tomorrow. When I'm 80 years old, if I'm blessed to live that long, it'll be a time in my life, just like the kids being raised, just like going to high school. It's all a time of our life. So good for Justin, and it sounds like he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is. He is. And, so we'll try to get you back on that show, and we'll do some video stuff.
Now, real quick here.
Yeah.
I heard Tony blabbering something in some excerpt on my Facebook page, some laughter about me. What are you guys doing? You guys coming at the ice tray for some reason?
That's a little promo. Actually, when we had Tony on last week and I mentioned you, I said, we're going to have Mark on next week, or we're going to have Mark on soon. He says, Mark who? That became part of our little promo. It's on, and it went out on Twitter and Instagram and our Facebook page today.
Oh, that's what it was. And then you all started laughing and indulging each other. I get it.
You know how it goes. Yeah,
I do. I'm the king of it. I know how it goes real well. I love Tony. He's awesome.
He is. Tony's a great guy, and we love having him on as well. So.
Did he tell you he's moving away, maybe?
No, he did not. He didn't say that.
Okay, I'm not either, then.
Okay, good. Good.
All right, it may be a secret. Next time he's on, talk to him about future plans.
Excellent, because, we're all thinking about making future plans ourselves, so anyway. All right, Mark, we're at the end of our rope here. We're going to have to go, and we thank you for taking some time out of your Sunday to give us a call, and we will Don't be a stranger. You know, you can reach out to us if you ever want to get on the East Coast media feed, and you know, this way we don't have to chase you down. We'll always find a spot for you.
Well, we have a another little show that I'm just finishing working on that is looking pretty promising. And once I get kind of a little better feel, I'll give you a holler, and maybe we'll hop on the horn together and talk about it.
Excellent. That'd be great. Please do.
Okay, guys. Take care. Thanks again for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Mark. Thanks for being on.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
All right.
Bye.